Thanks for tuning into the China Flexpert podcast. My name is Verena, and today I'm talking with Artem on the power of digital marketing in China and how you, as a Flexpert, can benefit from it. We look into big data, the different marketing channels, how you can utilize digital marketing for your company, but also for your personal brand, and even how it's different in other markets outside of China. Especially for those who haven't yet touched the topic of digital marketing too much, there will be a lot of insights and make you understand China again a little bit better. Tune in and enjoy this episode.
My name is Artem Zhdanov and I'm from Russia. I'm a co-founder of Outlandish Group, a full-service digital marketing agency with offices in Shanghai and Los Angeles. Also, I'm the founder of the most popular media channel that reports on China to East Slavic and Central Asian audiences in Russian language with a global readership of 300,000. My hometown is called Bisk. It's a small city in the south of Siberia, and it's near Altai Mountains. And actually, these mountains belong to four countries: Russia, China, Mongolia, and Kazakhstan. So actually, I'm Asian, and I've always been wanting to study international relations. But, you know, Europe and the USA are so far away and so mainstream, and China was so close and so special. And I felt a big opportunity and potential on that side. At least I could find a job as an interpreter, because there are not many people who can speak Chinese. So when it was time to choose my major, I decided that Chinese studies could be a good alternative. So I entered Altai State University, where I studied Chinese language, history, culture, geography, politics, economics, just all things about China. It was 2010 when I came to China for the first time. And it was Changchun City in northeast China, also known as Dumbei. I came there for Chinese summer courses. And the biggest city I saw before was Novosibirsk, the third city in Russia. And even after it, Changchun seemed to me rather more developed. It was 13 years ago in a tier 3 city in northern China. That time I really didn't go to Moscow yet. So after graduating in 2012, I jumped on an airplane and came to the south of China, Guangdong, where I spent 7 years in Guangzhou and Shenzhen mostly. I worked as an employee just for 1 year. Then I started my own company with two business partners, doing mostly export and sourcing, but keep doing my media and personal accounts. Also, at the time, I launched a brand called La Wai Mi. It's merch and media for everyone interested in Chinese culture. And 4 years ago, I moved to Shanghai, where I built a small team and started to do consulting and marketing for brands and organizations working or entering the Chinese market. And in China, marketing is all about video now. So when my clients got this need, I reached out to my old British friend, William August, who is actually one of the first foreign influencers on Chinese social media with millions of followers. So he and another Chinese business partner had their own video production studio. And after we did a few successful projects together, we merged, and now we are doing digital marketing, but we also have in-house video production. Yeah, and also 1.5 years ago, we started live stream commerce in UK and US.
Welcome to the China Flexpert podcast. I think we already have a quite good idea that you are really a Flexpert, but let me ask the question anyhow. What makes you unique as a Flexpert?
I think my major and the fact that I have been living here for 11 years already and helping others to enter Chinese market or spreading China culture, it makes me Flexpert.
What makes your business unique and why do customers choose your services?
Okay, so I would say one of the main advantage of our company is international, but everyone say we are international. But here I would mention that all of our foreigners who works in our company, they are Flexpats. So the requirements when we're hiring them, they should speak Chinese at least at middle level, and they should spend in China at least a few years. So they understand that, because some people, they have amazing Chinese, but have never lived in China. You need to be here to understand the whole vibe and understand the culture. And also 80% of our employees are Chinese people. So for sure, we understand China market well. They understand better than foreigners. And we can understand our foreign clients' needs and at the same time understand Chinese market very well. So it's kind of a really good mix. Also, I think the very important and unique thing is video production in-house. So we do creativity and content in-house, not like outsourcing it. So we can control it to help our clients.
You already stated that a lot of your customers are foreign-owned companies. So do you mostly work together with other Flexpats or rather with local Chinese?
Both. Because like when the company is big enough, they represent, let's say like FedEx is our client, but FedEx office here is all, they are Chinese people. And here they just work directly with our Chinese staff. Or there is some companies who actually business model, they don't have their representative office here. They're just foreign brand who sell their products here in China, but through Chinese distributors. And it, actually, this is the most complicated part because you need to educate them, you need to explain their headquarters, how it's going in China, why they need Douyin, why they need WeChat and everything. So, and the best variant for me for sure is work with Flexpat. So if the company have their own office here and they're like foreign employees here, or like director, decision makers, Flexpat is the best when they understand. You don't need to explain them, even they are foreigners, you don't need them explain the value of many social media or Chinese platforms.
What makes video advertising so popular and why is it beneficial for companies to advert through video?
Here I just want to go through like big data, you know, like Douyin, which is Chinese TikTok. They have like around 900 million users and 800 million like active monthly users. And if we think that there is a lot of like 1.5 billion internet users in China, means like 90%, almost 90% of Chinese people are on video platforms. And I'm just talking about like Douyin. But let's say like WeChat also have WeChat channels with video, like and WeChat, everyone has WeChat, and somehow they see these videos anyway. And this industry is really growing. And let's say like even like 3-5 years ago, when you go to like metro and check what Chinese people doing on their smartphones, everyone playing games, right? Now video overpassed like the length of time how much they spend during the day. So it's more than 2 hours a day they actively watching videos. And actually, surprisingly, like last year, even Bilibili, which is kind of Chinese YouTube, overpassed WeChat for active using time of the app. So just like video is everywhere, and it means like it's the mainstream social media platform for Chinese people right now.
What industries actually use video advertising for what purpose?
Through video content, all like FMCG sector, all like cosmetics, fashion, jewelry. But surprisingly in China, because it's become mainstream, it's not like in the West, YouTube or like TikTok. It's still not that popular among like different categories of people. But here like kids use Douyin, grannies use Douyin, everyone use Douyin and all people are there. And if you check, for example, like Chinese main newspaper, Zhenmin Zhibao, for example, like who reads newspapers? But, you know, they have like hundreds of millions followers on Douyin and people watching it. It's not like fake followers. It means like everyone there. Let's say like one of our client, for example, is just like kind of technical test for cars here in Shanghai. Just one offline shop. And we do like for them like Douyin marketing where the master talking about different car issues. And then now they have like after half a year of doing this Douyin, half of their clients come from Douyin. Offline small shop just in Shanghai. They also kind of take advantage of the video marketing.
Before hiring a digital marketing company like yours, what must companies think of and prepare before they approach you?
They need to understand what they need from China market, the first. They need to understand like what business model they have here, like all legal issues, everything. Like first you need to understand like the market, because we are not marketing research company. So when they come to us, the first question is, do you do market research? Because we will not gonna do it for you, right? We can give you suggestion, but for sure you need first buy market research and then come to us with all that information. Like aftermarket research, what products could be potentially like suitable for Chinese market? What is like the amount of market? Who is competitors? Everything. So you did some preparation before, and then you come to us and it's like, okay, we need digital marketing. Because for sure, when you just start selling your product, you need from the first day, digital marketing is must have. But before, we really don't want to work with clients who don't know what they want on China, or they just want to try. In China, the trials will be really expensive. So it's better to make more research and understand, like, otherwise you could lose a lot of money.
What other digital marketing channels do you recommend to your customers?
In general, there are a lot of different platforms. So on one hand, it's kind of complicated thing because it's so many. On the West, you just have like Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, that's all. And here, like so many different platforms. But on the other hand, it's like you can choose your niche social media, which maybe doesn't have like 100 millions of followers, but it will be very efficient. For example, there is like for food marketing or sauce marketing, whatever related to cooking. There is like Xia Chu Fang app. It's just like a very niche app. It's kind of social media for cooking when you post your recipes, when you post like how you cook and everything. So just like around 20 million users, but everyone there, like they all about cooking. So there is no like some random people there. So for sure, like you don't need even kind of target. Everyone is cooking there. Or like, let's say like Zhihu. Zhihu is Chinese Quora, which is very powerful in China. And it belongs to Baidu. And that's why like sometimes people spend a lot of money for SEO on Baidu or some Baidu ads. But if you, for example, grow your expert Zhihu account for like 1 year, it will bring a lot of leads organically because Baidu just will push it. It's just like a few examples, and there are like a lot of different platforms here.
Is digital marketing in China very different compared to other countries and markets?
Yeah, the first thing what most of the companies who coming to Chinese market, they say like, okay, we need Chinese website. You know, you don't need website maybe at all. So Chinese people don't use websites for a long, long time. They don't use websites only for specific industries. Sometimes, yes. But mostly, yeah, you can have it. Many of the Chinese companies have website for sure. But it's usually not really good. But because no one goes there. Because your representative online is usually like, let's say, like WeChat official account is actually your website function. When you can check everything about company information, there is a menu and everything. So Weibo, for example, it's your corporate blog. You don't need to put it on website. No one will read it. And at the same time, for example, emails. No one uses emails here in China, so newsletter will never work. In that time, they don't have habit even like to check emails, like maybe one time in a week, and maybe it's in spam, so you will never reach them. So you better use WeChat. And for example, Baidu. On the West, you use Google, Bing, whatever. Baidu is already like, it's not that powerful at all. More than 50% of searches did by Chinese people, it's not on Baidu. It's like on WeChat, on Douyin directly. So, for example, when people try to find an answer for some question, they go to Douyin. Interesting thing, like more than 30% of Chinese people use WeChat as a primary search engine. So it's just like, it's just a few examples. For sure, like video industry is the biggest thing. I don't say about live streaming, which is a really big in China and only one successful, I think, country and that developed in live stream industry also. It's absolutely another planet.
How can a flexpat work in an international or Chinese firm leverage the digital marketing in China?
In the West, doesn't matter where you work, you're an engineer or like architect or whatever. You do your LinkedIn if you want to build your own personal brand, or you do Instagram for friends, but LinkedIn is like could work really well for your career. So here in China, now LinkedIn is blocked. It's used only for like, it's another version only for looking for jobs. So I would say like every flexpat can use Chinese social media to do their own personal brand, to build this personal brand IP, which will help for sure. At least let's say like you sell something, then you build your like personal brand on like, as I already mentioned, on Zhihu as expert in some industry. And then it can bring you clients directly. Or maybe like you want to find the next job, and then like it will be much easier to find because you already built some community. And the amazing thing, let's say like, yeah, video. Many people cannot do videos, for example. They say, my Chinese is not well enough. Amazing thing about Chinese audience, they okay to read subtitles. Whatever language you talk, I mean, like, you can don't speak even English. You just, like, speak in your own language. But as soon as, like, content is, like, valuable, you put subtitles, they read it, and they communicate with you. It's really a good thing. At least you need to understand where is your audience. Personal brand will be always something which you can use in future. Doesn't matter in what field, right?
I know that you yourself are also bringing Chinese culture into the world. What exactly are you doing?
I did this brand Lao Wai Mi, which is like a kind of merch. And the problem with Chinese culture is super complicated, you know? And many people even just like don't want to come to China or start to learn Chinese language or understand anything about China because they think, oh, it's just so complicated. It's the same as learn some JavaScript programming scripts or something like this, you know? And then I came out with this idea, like some like funny t-shirts, you know, like Ni hao, xie xie, tin bo dong. Hello, thank you, I don't understand. Actually, it was my first t-shirt I did by myself because I was working in sourcing. I knew some factories. I did some like 100 first t-shirts and just to give to my friends as a gift. And then a lot of people, wow, where I can buy it? Wow, it's cool. So like, and then I opened Taobao shop because it's the easiest way to sell something and then like send. And then like made another bunch of t-shirts, I think. Then we also add some mugs, like for example, Duo He Zhe Shui, drink more hot water, which is like Chinese thing. Even in the hot summer, they still will bring you hot water. And why like this? So each and every one of our product have a small story to teach something in a funny way about Chinese culture. And from this you start. You cannot motivate people with something really complicated. So you go step by step. At least like if they wear a t-shirt with Chinese characters, it's a big win already. Because like Chinese language is a big part of Chinese culture anyway. So it's, through this, we kind of still selling our merch on Taobao and international website. But it's mostly like a hobby. And I think it's kind of cool. And we also have a channel of Lao Wai Mi on Instagram. It's like around 100,000 followers. And we have like YouTube channel. And I don't say about my Russian media about China, which is I've been doing for 10 years. I mean, like, but that more is more official, like news articles is not that funny way.
Why are other countries, like you were telling Russia, so interested in what you have to say about China? Is it mostly for entertainment or are there any other reasons?
For Russia, historically, like China is the closest neighbor, right? And we like half Asia country. So for sure, like everyone, many people more and more interested in China as an opportunity. I think to learn, it's not for entertaining. Lao Wai Mi was more for entertaining in English. When I started to do this, I actually had a lot of like fears. I'm not native. Maybe I have some like problems. Like, and I also started to do video even in English with my Russian strong accent, you know, and in the end it was fine because in the end, like, the content is what's most important. It doesn't matter, like, as soon as people understand you and the content is valuable, it's fine.
How can other flexpats educate their foreign colleagues in locations outside of China?
I think the best way, bring them to China. What I learned from, like, I even kind of try to make it mandatory for many clients who want to work with us. I ask, like, please bring your, like, key managers here, or, like, even better, like, the higher level people, like bosses or owners, shareholders. Because, like, we can talk with you, like, many hours on Zoom, but you will never understand that much as you're just going to, I don't know, Chinese restaurant and try to order something, you know, or just go to Chinese bank one time and try to open a bank card. And then you will understand a lot of things, like, because it's hard, you know, like to explain some difficulties. Some clients think that it's our company problem, but they don't understand absolutely different environment. Okay, if you cannot bring them, I think that you need to go through people. Through this, you can understand the culture without a lot of stereotypes and bias. There is nothing about society. Then there's not many things about like normal people, just like ordinary people who's like living here, doing the same thing as like everyone in the world. The small interview with the owner of a small Chinese restaurant can give much more value than interview with some like top manager of Alibaba.
Your company is also highly engaged in live streaming activities, which is quite popular in China. But what about other markets?
Yeah, I already mentioned we started to do live streaming in UK and US. So we are official TikTok shop partner. It means like TikTok doesn't do this like kind of business development by themselves much. So if some brands want to do live streaming, they come to TikTok and TikTok give them the list of official TikTok shop partners. And then we help these brands with onboarding, with choosing the right products, with like consulting and like content. Sometimes we do even live streaming for them. We provide hosts, we do the whole planning, we manage the whole live stream. And in UK, it started 1 year and a half ago, not that successful. I think like even TikTok thought it should be better. Even in China, it took like 7 years to become like 11% of e-commerce market goes through like live streaming. But in UK, I don't know, like it will take 10 years or we'll never be popular. But in US now, we just started like three months ago. Because in China, live streaming now is not entertainment. It's just like the way to buy things. When you go to live streams, you understand there is always special price, always special prices. If you want to save your money in China, you go not on Taobao, or you go Taobao live stream, so you go Douyin actually. And you will get the best prices or some deals, bonuses, some gifts from brands. So that's how they try to bring people to live streams. The second thing here in China, the content quality of live stream is not that high actually. Because it's more about sales. You come to the shop, you buy things, people explaining you the product, that's all. In Western countries, they expect entertainment flow from live stream. So first entertainment, and then if you entertain me well, then I will buy your product, maybe.
What kind of industries are utilizing live streaming to sell their products?
For sure, all FMCG sector, yes. In China, one of the top is cosmetics. Because like cosmetic is all about you showing how to use it. So like, and food for sure, like you need to show people how tasty it is, what it consists of. Fast fashion, like any fashion brands actually. Many big famous brands, because like people know the price, and if they see cheaper things on live stream, they just buy it. So like usually, like if you really want to buy iPhone, even in China, you go to live streams. And even some like restaurant coupons and like cinema tickets and everything, like is much cheaper there on Douyin, because Douyin kind of subsidized them to grow this industry.
Do you think a standard manufacturing company could utilize live streaming as a future marketing channel?
Yes, and actually they do this in China. So many of them do this DTC brands, like direct to customers, right? So they do their brands, they have their like own sales channel, and many of them just live streaming from their like factories, showrooms. Then you try it through live stream, because live stream is the best way to get like immediate feedback from your potential clients. So it's kind of even like customer development good. It thinks it's like market research at the same time.
What important digital marketing trends should other Flexpits know of that could help them to steer their company's marketing activities into the right direction?
About trends, I would keep saying about video, because it's not just a trend, it's something here to stay. For example, last year, in the end of last year, Pony Ma, which is a founder of Tencent, one of the biggest companies in the world, the biggest gaming company in the world, the biggest Chinese company, he said, the future of their company is short videos. Can you imagine? They have so many streams of revenue, but they still say short videos is important for them. So even these big companies want to push it, for sure it will stay here. The second thing, live streaming is growing for sure. Also, one important thing, what I forgot to mention, the biggest part of Chinese digital marketing is KOL, KOC, which is key opinion leaders, which is influencers, or key opinion customers. Some of the brands spending 70% of their marketing, the online marketing budget for KOL, KOC, because Chinese people more than whoever in the world trust influencers. That's how it works here. And if influencer recommending something, they would buy it. Also important, like many people and brands stop spending a lot of money on big influencers. It goes more to micro and mini influencers, KOLs, KOC. The main trend of this year is China recovering from COVID times. But some habits changed a lot. The first thing is like more elder people, they start to use online platforms for shopping. So obviously COVID times is good for online thing. The second thing, Chinese consumers start to prefer healthy food and quality because they start to care more about their health. So COVID times kind of over, but people really care about health.
What are you most proud of and thankful for in your career?
I think this thing is not happened yet, what I could be really proud like all my life. But I think I can say for sure I'm proud that I can call myself self-made man, because I'm from like small Siberian city without many resources, not rich family. And then I'm now doing here business in China, not even in China. We opened offices in the UK and US. So that I'm proud that I can call myself not even China flexpat, but global flexpat. And it's amazing how many opportunities world can show you.
What are you afraid of, or what would make you leave China?
I don't think I'm afraid of many things, even let's say bankruptcy, or let's say last year it was lockdown in Shanghai, which was really tough for our business. We cut some salaries, we cut some employees, but that time I was not even panicking. It was like kind of challenging. It's strange, but I even enjoyed it a little bit because it was wow. Oh, here's a crisis management. What we will do? How we will survive? It's interesting. It's a new challenge. You know, like it's a computer game quest, a new quest. Okay, so doesn't matter what happened. I'm thinking about this. Okay, this is a new quest, new challenge. We need to somehow pass it. And about leaving China, for sure I will leave it. It's not about I don't like it. Even I feel here very comfortable. My life goal to live at least in 3-5 countries, I would say 5 countries, and not just traveling, but really try to become flexpat there in the countries. Because every country is another planet. The world is so interesting. That's what my goal is. But China for sure will be always in my heart, and the world can learn so much from China. Even my business would be still here. Maybe I won't be physically stay here, but China always will be with me.
What is your core message to our audience? Something they should keep in mind about this episode?
I would say that many people really underestimate the power of really good content, of good storytelling, of good personal brand. And it helped me a lot to get many resources through my media channels, through my own personal accounts. I realized that now I can go wherever I want in the world and I can get some potential business partners, clients, some other resources.
Thanks for your very interesting insights, Artem. And of course, thanks for your time. I hope to hear from you soon. Have a nice day. Thanks for listening to this episode. Please recommend it to your friends and colleagues and those who would like to hear more from our Flexpat community. Connect with Artem directly if you want to boost your digital marketing presence or simply exchange in that field of expertise. We love to see this community grow and support each other.